meeting areas.
I forgot, but those two things.
Well, when you look at that topic, we obviously turn to the Bhagavad Gita, because the Bhagavad Gita is, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is describing it.
It is our karma that it is really hot right now in this tent.
We need to be cooked for a while, so I'll just take off one layer with your permission.
Karma is like that. It is due to karma that we suffer the dualities of material existence. Matras versus Sukunteya, Sitasna Sukadukada, Adamanti, and Kisam Titiksava, Vardaha. The heat of summer and winter, these are the results of karma. And what is karma? According to the Bhagavad Gita, we see that Srila Prabhupada generally translates the word karma as fruitive activity. Fruitive activity, or that we are acting in a way trying to get enjoyment from our work. But Bhagavad Gita says, karmani eva vikarasti mafalisa kudachana makarmafala hetu bhur maasti sumrasa karmani, which means that we may work, but the fruits of our activities are not ours. They are to be offered to Krishna. Okay, that's the frame of reference. That is our perspective where we are looking at. So then, so many different karmic reactions are there. See the Bhaktisiddhanta gave a whole categorization of different kinds of sin and how they lead to different kinds of reaction. Sin and karma are also connected because sin is activity that is against the will of the Supreme Lord. And so then we get so many reactions. Yeah, then reincarnation. What can I say about that? It's a topic. It can go on for a very, very long time. We know that we are in a cycle of birth and death. But we don't realize that practically we are taking birth so many times in the material world. Sometimes it is said almost nitya bada, almost eternal. Anadi bahimukha, we cannot trace back the origin. One time I was riding on a train in the Netherlands. That doesn't happen very often. Usually I'm somewhere else in the world. And the Netherlands is such a country, when you enter and you move too fast, you're across the border, you're out again. So, you know, it's smaller than KwaZulu-Natal. So, what can be said? But I happened to be in the Netherlands on a train, and the train was passing through the place where I grew up. And I used to sometimes go to the railway line with one friend who was always into dangerous games, and we would put coins on the railway track and get the train to drive over it, and then they would become really big, you know, and it was worth the money, you know. And like that, we used to do these things. So I was driving through this place, and then, yeah, I get all nostalgic, the place where I grew up, the place of my birth, and you're driving through. But it went really fast, because trains move fast, so one minute I was there, and the next moment it had moved on to the next destination. And then I was thinking, But this place has also been the place of my birth in another life. And the next place, also a place of my birth in another life. Because so many times I have already been born anywhere on this planet. We have already been Russian so many times over. Oh yes, we forgot our birth in Siberia. Right? But it was there, we forgot when we were Japanese. We forgot. But practically on every nook and corner on the planet, we already took birth. And already in so many species, we already took birth. So just to broaden the concept of reincarnation a little bit, you know, where we sort of think, we know reincarnation, life after life, you come back in the material world, and sometimes in one place, sometimes in another place. But, you know, you have been practically everywhere. You've already lived many times in East Pingo, and, you know, and also in Nearbank, and also in Bloom, and where not, you know. And if you think you missed out on Mozambique, I don't think so. And possibly, you know, someone might have been a zebra, right, in Mozambique, and the shirt gives them away, you know. You never know, you know, what we have been in a previous life. But all of these things we've actually been, if you think about it, life after life. So many lives in the material world. Everyone's been a zebra, right? And we might be again, you know? So this is actually how it works, reincarnation. So it is a very, very long, ongoing journey through the material world. And it's only when a devotee enters into our life that it changes. Brahmanda Brahmite Kuna Bhagyuana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasada Paya Bhakti Vata Beach. It is the devotee that comes into our life and makes the change. Of course, Krishna also may have a hand to play. He may send us a devotee. We may not even notice it, but the devotee walks through our life. Unknowingly, there is some benefit. Agyata Sukriti. Unknown spiritual benefit. But then it takes off from there. From there it begins. Our spiritual journey begins. And we actually end the cycle of samsara, of birth and death. Otherwise it doesn't end. One can do pious activities and you go up into the universe, in pious activities, go down to the lower planetary system. That's all. One cannot break out of this cycle of samsara unless we connect with the devotee. And that devotee connects us to Krishna and serves to Krishna. So yeah, that's really the only topic we're discussing here in this Q&A, or whatever it's called these days. It's the only topic because the conclusion of everything leads back to the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. And the conclusion of the Gita is Sarva-dharmam paricheyamanikam saranam braja, abandon all variety of activity and surrender unto me. So, and that is bhakti. So ultimately, when we speak about karma or reincarnation, in itself, it's not a topic of great interest to us unless we speak about a solution, a way to get out of it. Because why speak about being endlessly reborn and reborn and reborn again and again? And some people make it out to be that it is some sort of adventure journey. Yes, and then this life you're in South Africa, and next life, change body and be a giraffe for a long time. Why not, it's a long neck,
can
see everything. So there are advantages to being a giraffe, some special angles of vision you get. So in this way, maybe worth it, try it out. Can't stay a zebra all the time. Like that, we can try out different bodies and something, yes, it's like that, an adventure. So connecting to that idea, I have developed for you a model of a shopping mall, and that at the end of our life, we go to this shopping mall, and there we are walking around, and we see all these different bodies in the show windows, and we can check it out. And if you want, you can try one on. Oh yes. And you go for a fancy model, you know, the perfect one. But then as you try it on, it fits really well, it looks really good, but there's one problem. You look at the price tag, and you don't have enough karma to pay for it. And then what you do? No problem. And the sales lady named Maya, she has for you another model which looks exactly the same as the one you liked, but a cheaper clone model which stays beautiful to 35. And at 35, it suddenly blows up overnight, you know, twice in size. Right? That's sort of the second quality. Right? So, you know, in the end you say, well, okay, you know, I guess I'll take it, you know, better something than nothing. So it is often like that. We are not just able to choose, it depends on our karma. Karma vedani trina jantudi upapadati. It is by karma and divine arrangement that the next body is attained. Sometimes you might, yeah, I think this time I want to be tall. I have my story about my friend who was very tall, and we were in Calcutta together, and he was saying, Calcutta, what a beautiful city. And I said, Calcutta, beautiful city? Calcutta is pitch black, and from the carbon CO2, there's so much smoke and smog that when it rains in Calcutta, the rain leaves black stains on your cloth. I know Calcutta, I spent plenty of time in Calcutta. And all the walls are black, so I said, Calcutta, they call it the black hole in the universe, how can you call this a beautiful city? He said, Calcutta, city of beautiful gardens. And then I suddenly realized that he was able to look over the walls and see the gardens, and all I was seeing was black walls. You know? So see what karma brings us. Of course, you know, when you're told it's mind your head. The head is a sensitive element for tall people. There's always something up there. Right? Especially in India, to be very careful. I had a tall friend, and actually the story is, when I was temple president, he one day came to me, and he said, I want my passport, which I was keeping for him in the safe. And I said, okay. He said, are you going on a trip? He says, yes, I'm leaving Krishna consciousness. I said, oh, wow, that's not a good idea. He said, no, I've made up my mind. I want to enjoy the material world. I said, well, it's not easy, it's uneasy. But he said, no, I will do it. So he tried, but it was difficult because each time that he tried, he had transcendental knowledge. So one day he said to Krishna, it's not fair, I can't enjoy it anymore. Now I have transcendental knowledge. Then he prayed to Krishna that I want to forget this knowledge. Well, if you read, although Krishna is reluctant, if you really want to, he makes an arrangement. So what the arrangement was, he stepped in a room with a low ceiling fan. And being tall, he stuck his head right into the fan. I'm warning the tall people. He stuck his head in the fan, saw all the planets of the entire universe, Saturn, Jupiter, and you name them all. And after that, he sort of, forgot all about Krishna. And then he could, for a while, he was enjoying again, material enjoyment. But one day, he was in South India, on the bank of the river Krishna, and then he saw a monkey coming down the mountain, and that monkey went to the river, took some water, put it on his head, offered obeisances, and then did it again. And then he realized that monkey is a devotee. He was a devotee in his last life, and this is what will happen to me. I will become a monkey as well. Still a devotee, but in a monkey body. Just see. That can happen. So, yeah. Somehow or other, that monkey. And I've seen also some devotional monkeys myself. In Vrindavan, we have in the Krishna Bhagavan Mandir, we have a tree in the courtyard. And there's a net over the courtyard to keep out monkeys, pigeons, and all these things. But the tree had sort of grown to the metal netting and made a hole. So this one monkey knew about it. And then we would serve the devotees prasadam in the temple. And we'd have lines, you know, with mats and everyone sitting in the lines and the nicely being served, etc. So then, as it sort of began to empty out, and only the last devotees were taking their meals, suddenly this monkey sat down behind an empty plate. And what do you do? Very civilized. So, okay, you want me to serve the monkey a plate of prasadam? And the monkey, nicely, so with the right hand, was taking the prasadam, after quietly left. What kind of monkey is that? What kind of monkey is that? That is a devotee. So we see that even devotees sometimes wind up in such a body like that because they want to forget Krishna. Right? It happens sometimes that devotees start to feel sorry. Oh, I wish I never found out about all of this. If only I would have known about Krishna, I could have been a normal person. But now it's too late. Too late. We can never be normal again. Once we know about serving Krishna, it just doesn't go away. So sometimes the devotee's desire that it is taken away. And you can see, sometimes Krishna does take it away. So reincarnation is also relevant to those who are on the spiritual path. We may not be successful in one lifetime. There's also chapter 6, chapter 6 is if you don't make it in this life, suchinam srimadam gehe, then you can take your birth in a family either of brahmanas or of a pure family where there is of devotees or of, as I said, brahmanas or shrimatam gehe or in a wealthy family, so you get a better chance to sort of develop yourself. It's more difficult if one is born in a family of poverty. Because just the struggle of existence is somewhat more tough in these areas. We see all over the world, where there's poverty, there is low morality. The two generally go hand in hand. Where there is more wealth, there's also plenty of sin. Shakespeare speaks about the deep, dark, sinful things that are behind all the money in the world. So that's a fact. There is a lot of sin behind wealth. But still in wealthy families, one gets a better education. One gets more training in morality. So So even devotees who are not successful in going back to Godhead in this lifetime are also dealing with this element of karma. When Krishna discusses this in the Bhagavad Gita, he does so to emphasize to us that we should seriously apply ourselves, that we should not be in that category of half-hearted devotees, but that we should really be in the category of serious and devotees, at least who are trying to remain pure. No? It is because it's a rare opportunity, very rare. After many births, we get it, and then we may lose it also, again, drift away for quite a number of births. There are certainly some devotees, they're hesitating about initiation, you know, like, I'm not ready for it, I mean, maybe I am, maybe not, I'm not sure if I'm ready for it, but, you know, I'll definitely take when I'm ready. Well, but in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahavira 15.108, there is a reference where it says that if one doesn't do so, one who doesn't do so is at risk of sliding back down into the animal species. Yeah? Just why? It's not that the initiation is magic, but it's because the commitment hasn't been solidified. Right? And when we don't make a solid commitment to spiritual life, yeah, then a little slip here, a little slip there, and then we may slide down to lower forms of behavior, and before you know it, an animal birth. Whereas, see it, if there's an initiation, even if there's a slip between the cup and the lip, and so on, then still, that initiation doesn't go away. So still, responsibility is with us and reminding us. And even if we then still don't live up to purity, then at least the spiritual master, his prayers are there. And that might, may save us from the animal birth that we otherwise deserve. Okay? So, it is by one shouldn't delay when the opportunity is there. It's not intelligent to delay. So, in this way, I wanted to take it from a perspective of those who are practicing devotional service, because you see a lot of devotees in the tent, and then it becomes more engaged, you know, and it becomes more something relating to what we are doing. So we should be very careful. We see many devotees, we should remember that many of us might have had a previous connection with Krishna consciousness, and that we may have already been devotees in a previous life, and that somehow or other then we again became devotees this life. So that means we failed. We blew it. That means in the last life, we blew it. What went wrong? Then you gotta ask yourself, what went wrong on the way to heaven? Kind of question. And then, maybe we can see certain tendencies in us now, some issues that are coming up in us now. We think, maybe that's what I brought with me in my hand luggage from my last life. And maybe that's the same thing that held me back last life, which is holding me back again. Same problem, it's a fact. Because in Krishna consciousness, when there's a certain hurdle, a test where you have to surrender and say, oh, this is too much, I can't do this, no Krishna, sorry, I can't do this, then it comes back later on, again, and later on again, that same test will come to us, again we have to surrender to. So that is, and if we failed in last life, again, it comes back in this life. It says that Sri Prabhupada once said that one who was engaged in illicit sex in the last life gets skin problems in this life. Or one who had a problem with gold, gets fungus under the nails. So it's interesting that you read about these things, So, yes, sometimes even in the life of devotees, some of that karma is still emerging. Still emerging. Yes. For once, auspicious sirens. Usually sirens bring nothing but misery, but these sirens bring rather auspiciousness. Although the sound is intense, I must say, I hate the sound, but it's purifying because it's being engaged in the service of Krishna. And therefore, this siren, unlike other sirens, destroys karma. So, okay, we let it make its noisy on the noisy side, as if the side is not noisy enough. Sometimes I wonder, why did I join this movement? It's such a noisy movement. And then, and then there are crowds, right? And it's like, I was in Mayapur recently for this Kirtan Mela, and there was a crowd. It was just outrageous. And I thought, why am I here? I hate crowds, And when bodies start to get packed together, I always feel like it's time for me to go to a quiet place somewhere. But yes, these crowds are auspicious crowds, crowds of devotees. So everyone can say auspicious sirens, auspicious crowds, because they purify us. And I need it. I need it. I need purification. I don't know what I carry with me from how many lives. But I can see that it's there because of tendencies, sinful tendencies. It is said that the karma is stored in the heart as aprarabdha, unmanifest karma. So we don't know that it's there, but one can see that it's there because there's a sinful inclination. When I was a child, I stole a cartoon from a bookstore, And the lady in the store, she saw it and she informed my parents, And then my parents, they caught me when I was in the bathtub. Okay, thank you. They're purifying the whole site. Not special because... So... Just see, as soon as I spoke about that, I stole the police can. Just see. Anyway, I'll go back to the story. A real life story. I stole a magazine as a kid, the cartoon, and my parents, they came, and I don't know why they did that, but I was taking a bath in the bathtub. I was naked, with no clothes on, and suddenly from their bedroom they had a connection, and suddenly they walked into the bathroom. Come. And then I got this lecture. And when you're naked, it's sort of more embarrassing. So it was really embarrassing. And I got this lecture about morality and so on. Oh my God. There was some special arrangement. Karma does these things, these situations where it is all staged, It is staged for us, You get your special lesson, You see how it's staged, when Ockward arranged the scriptwriter might not have thought of it. But because the scriptwriter is the supreme word, he has something to do with the whole arrangement. Therefore, I got my correction while in an undressed state, when I was feeling more vulnerable, and the correction went in deeper. It did, in that way. So, what to say? Anyway, so, even in the little, in our little innocent diaries, right? Oh, look at this innocent child. That child is not innocent, Mom. Sorry to say. That child may look innocent, but it is not. That child has also plenty of sinful tendencies in the heart. And you see it, huh? This child didn't stamp on the ends, right? With the feet, yes. Stop that right now. Stop that. And then one more time before we're forced to stop. Huh? So we see also these demoniac things in our little diamonds. Huh? So yes, it is all there, and over time, it all comes out. In spiritual life, I'll repeat the words that my spiritual master learned from his high school teacher, who said, who said to the students, he was a black American, and he said, well, I'm going to tell you all something that you're going to remember for the rest of your life. I'm going to tell you something you're never going to forget for the rest of your life. Yeah? He said, so, you know, listen carefully, because what I'm going to tell you is going to stay with you for the rest of your life. And so everyone was sort of sitting on the edge of his seat, and then he said, it all comes out in the wash. My words, it all comes out in the wash. So Jai Vrajamaraj likes that a lot, and he reminds me sometimes, it all comes out in the wash. So in Parampara, I'm telling you, it all comes out in the wash. It all comes out. There is no karma that you can escape from. Oh no. It all comes out in the wash. We may have forgotten about it, but not Krishna. You know, I've almost used it all the time, but I don't care. Did you ever go to a stingy restaurant? You know these stingy restaurants where they give really small portions? And you go in and you order something, you know? And then you expect something really, you know, and then when it comes, it's just a tiny little thing on the plate, and you go, what's that? You know, that's what you ordered. You know, and you're hungry, so you start to order more. You order something more, and everything is small portions, and in the end you wind up ordering a lot, and then comes the bill. And then it's a ridiculous bill, an outrageous bill, and you say, Wait a minute, this bill is off, it's wrong. We didn't have all these things. Yes, you did. It came in this bowl. Okay. But we didn't have that. Yes, it came on that plate. It's all there. So karma is something like that. Our karma bill is like that. So many things are on there, and we said, no, I've been an angel my whole life. No. I never harmed a fly. Oh, no. I've been a good person, but it's all on the karma bill. God, that was through the circumstances. No, it's on the bill. You see? So, the karma bill is like that, and it's not written off for many lives until we take up devotional service. And Krishna, he may just take things off the bill, just like that. So, the ocean service is beneficial. Okay, now we quickly going to do your questions in 15 minutes. We shoot right through them. And who's the next speaker? Svetavi. Hare Krishna, can a devotee transmigrate backwards into the original kingdom based into the animal kingdom. Okay. Into the animal kingdom based on his karma. Oh, absolutely. Some are already becoming animals this life. If you develop the mentality of an animal, you can become an animal. You can even become a plant. You can even become a stone. There are even stones that are alive. Huh? Some people become so dull, or they're always stoned, they can become stones. So, yes, it can be retrograde transmigration. Once surrendered to Lord Krishna, can we guarantee our next birth in, at least, in a nice Krishna conscious house in our next birth? Well, it's like, it depends how long we were in Krishna consciousness for, and it depends what sinful activities we committed. We might wind up in a devotee house, but it may be as a cockroach. And then they come after us with a spray can, trying to say to them, I'm a devotee! Huh? I'm a devotee! Like the cockroaches in the temple, they say, I'm a devotee! Have you read Satsarup Maharaj's book, Chota? Do you know about it? You might think it's a children's story, but it's not. It's actually, it's about Chota the mouse. And it's about a mouse who basically lives in the temple. And there's a whole community of them. And they're all devotees. And he's just describing how all these mice are devotees and taking prasad, and then, you know, basically, then he projects ISKCON on the devotees. Yeah? And there's a whole, and it becomes a whole social commentary on the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's an interesting book, Chota the Mouse. I'm sure you'll find it, you can remember. If you haven't read it, check the internet, Chota the Mouse. It's entertaining, it's nice. So yes, the animals in the temple are also devotees. And what if you become a mouse in the devotee, in the temple? What will the devotees do to you?
I'm a mouse!
Right? And then what? Hmm? So we must be careful. It may be, as you wrote, in a nice Krishna conscious house. But what species? That's not sure. Hare Krishna is food, prasadam distribution without kirtan, book distribution, devotional service, or welfare work. Well, you know that Jayadvaita Maharaj did a seminar called Food for Death instead of Food for Life, just to cheer up the devotees. He called it Food for Death, and basically it is about prasadam distribution that is not accompanied by kirtan will not save you from the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, even if you take such prasadam, you will die again and again. You'll stay in the cycle of birth and death. That's why it's called Food for Death. Srila Prabhupada pointed out that prasadam distribution or charity like that must be accompanied by kirtan, because kirtan is the only means by which we can deliver Krishna from, by which Krishna delivers us from material life. And so prasadam distribution is nice, but not nice enough. There must be kirtan with it. So when the devotees drop off a bucket at some school, that's really not very impressive. That seminar gives us like a long list of quotes from Srila Prabhupada, because Jayadvaita Maharaj is very shastric and he's very systematically taking it all from the scriptures. So food for that. Why is there a perceived hierarchy on this earth? Who are we to differentiate between animal and man? Well, scripture is differentiating between animal and man, and plants for that matter. And yes, the scriptures establishing that hierarchy. And on what basis? Not that our enjoyment is so much better than that of the elements. Animals eat, we eat, they sleep, we sleep, they mate, we mate, and so on. They defend. So that is the same. But it is said in the human form of life, there is an opportunity to become philosophical and to start inquiring about the goal of life. Therefore, Ahato Brahma Yigyasa, the human, which is the Vedanta Sutra. Now that we have attained the human form of life, we should inquire into the absolute truth. So the human form of life is an opportunity for inquiring into the absolute truth. Now those people who don't, they are by scripture classified as animals. It says, Dharmena hina pasuryasa samana. Without dharma, without taking up spiritual life, a human being is no better than an animal. And we had a zoologist who wrote a book called The Naked Ape, proving that human beings are no different from monkeys. So, spiritual life makes the difference. Otherwise, we are animals. Why is it that we don't eat eggs without being fertilized? Those eggs which are laid by chickens, which will give chicken, and so on. I can't read, but they cut it. So these eggs, they don't have a soul in them, right? So what's the problem in eating them? Well, these eggs are certainly, they're not fertilized, and the purpose of these eggs, by Krishna's arrangement, is that they have a chance to become fertilized, like eggs, and that they're meant to produce offspring. So eggs are for offspring. Why do you want to turn it into food? You see my point? They're not meant for food. Who said that eggs were food? There are so many things that have that are not fertilized. My egg is also not fertilized. But it's not food. Yeah? It's not food. Yeah? I'm sorry, it's not. In case anyone had some ideas, I'm strongly pointing it out. My leg is not food. Well, you got it. Yeah. Very good. So eggs also. Whatever eggs are good for, I agree, eggs are nice things. And, you know, they can produce chickens if they're fertilized. If they're not fertilized, oh well, too bad for those eggs. They missed out on the opportunity that no chicken will come out. But that doesn't mean that they should eat it. Ew. Yeah. Why would you eat it? Hare Krishna, what happens at the time of death, after death, and does the soul move to the next body immediately? Depending if you have been very sinful and you have wasted this life, then we can be denied a body for some time. If we have become extremely obsessed about something, let's say the pot of gold that is under the floor, you know, under your bed, right, that one, then you can become a ghost and float around. And as a ghost, you can stay around for a long time, a few hundred years. Suicides also be a ghost. So extremely sinful people become ghosts. The other day, they wanted me to speak about ghosts at night. It was a topic, and I asked them to change it, because it is said there are three things when you talk about, you attract. Ghosts, snakes, and women. It's not that they all come together in the same category. I'm not saying that women are like ghosts and snakes. It's rather, it's Chanakya Pandit who put them together. So it has nothing to do with me. I'm innocent of this. I'm quoting it though. I don't particularly, as a sannyasi, I do not wish to attract ladies to me I want to attract them to Krishna. Like that. So if you can attract them to Krishna, then it's good. But if we speak about ghosts, we attract them. If we speak about snakes, we also attract them. So one can take his birth in such a sometime after death on lines up there. Otherwise, we will go to, if you're sinful, to Yamaraj's abode and the planet Pluto, and there we will get some temporary reactions, and then after we are put in some hellish situation to suffer. And if we have better karma, then we can immediately go into the next body. If I have a pain due to my karma, it's, for example, a headache, and if I take a pill to help the pain, does that mean I'm postponing my karma? In a way, yes. Karma, you know, is like a suitcase. Remember, once upon a time, long ago, suitcases had no wheels. Remember that? But somehow or other they didn't invent it, and people were carrying them around in their hands. And you know, you carry them in one hand, and your fingers were like this, and the other hand, then on your shoulder, some on the head, on your back, whatever way you could carry that suitcase. It was a real trip. People lugging, that's where their luggage comes from, they're lugging it around, right, instead of wheeling it in, you know? So, karma is like that. We can move it from one place to the other, but it will come back. If you are destined to suffer, it will come back. However, it is also our karma that we can do something to get some relief. Like, so if it rains, should I just get wet? No, it's also my karma that I have hands and a brain and I can put up an umbrella. It's also part of the karma, so it's okay, no problem. So a headache pill is okay. Of course, it's intoxication and depends how strict you are. I don't take them. I'm not going to take headache pills because I feel as a Swami,
Hare Krishna,
it's not really...
For the driver,
where does intoxication begin and where does it end? When it comes over the counter of the pharmacist, it's not intoxication. And when you buy it out in the street, then it's intoxication.
If it's not more than 5 minutes, we will add
I think a lot of things that go over the counter are also intoxicants. For example, so I avoid these things. Now I'm very tough saying it today, and I don't know what I'll do when I'm in extreme pain. I have taken painkillers for extreme toothache and so on. But
it's not
something, slight little pain, let's take a pill. And it's not so cheap. We should not be too easy about these things. If someone sees straight at you, then you should just say it to me.
What if I remember Krishna at the time of death, but still have remaining karma? What happens then?
If you've done a lot of devotional service, then Krishna may take it all away at the end. Or make an arrangement for it to be purified by his causeless mercy. Or Krishna may place us in a universe where he performs pastimes and we get purified in these pastimes and burn up the last impurities. So Krishna may make an arrangement for it out of his mercy. Or take another birth for a while. So it is a good idea to really become purified. So let us do what we can. If we're born again and again and again, what does it, scribble, I don't know, where does it lead to? You might become a born again Christian. I'm running out of time. I have somewhat deep-rooted, have somewhat deep-rooted affection for my Tamil culture and something. Should I take it that in my last life as Tamil also? Yeah, maybe. Maybe in the Tamil for many lifetimes. And maybe you'll be Tamil again. But Tamils also die. And Tamils also grow old. And Tamils also get diseased. So what is so good about being, about the Tamil birth? Tamils also have to be strange rituals sometimes. Sometimes. What if you take birth in a Tamil family where you have to pull these things, the hooks in your flesh? I don't want to be a Tamil. Thinking about that alone, I said, I pass, and thank you. At least when I had a Dutch birth, I got cheese in my childhood. You know. So I might be attached to my Dutch birth because good cheese, you know, in the Netherlands, what can I say? I was born in a nice place called Heemstede. It is a place where people are civilized. It is a town outside of Amsterdam. There's very little simple activity going on. Everyone is, they're all directors and civilized, well-behaved people, doctors, and you know. Yeah, sometimes I can think it was a nice place, but not so nice that I want to take birth again over there. Although there was nice forest, no crime, the ocean is nearby, there are sand dunes, lovely place, but it's the material world. And let's get out of the material world. So whatever attachment we have to have the courage and the intelligence to cut. Cut that Tamil attachment. Cut now. So Svetadvipprabhu has come. Svetadvipprabhu, I'll give him a short introduction because mine are more personal than the standard introductions. I'm sorry for that. Svetadvipprabhu is one of our leading preachers in South Africa. We may not be so much aware of that, but he is heading up the preaching in Port Elizabeth for quite a number of years and driving it, and he he has really taken it forward. Not only have there been devotees in PE for a long time, and he has done a lot to develop the congregation further, but he's also been very active in developing preaching in the townships. So certainly, Prabhu is a preacher, and therefore preparing for sannyas. And one of these years in the Ratha Yatra, you'll see Svetadvipswami, or if they change his name, sitting here on the stage to address you. So it's a great pleasure to welcome him here, and only time is separating us from that auspicious day. But even now, he will tell you very valuable things. Hare Krishna.